It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and thank you a lot for joining me for our weekly visit here on KETR, where I have the privilege of sharing my outdoor lifestyle with everybody. Seth Vanover is standing by. He's going to be with us today, and we're going to talk about catching fish in the springtime. We're going to be talking about Lake Fork and catfish and crappie. Before we get Seth on, though, I want to mention to you the Yannis Catfish Classic that's coming up the 5th and 6th, I believe it is, of May. We still have a little time. I think it's the 5th and 6th, but it's going to be held at the Minnebucket there at Lake Fork. So you can, there's a lot of ways. Most all the folks around Lake Fork have applications where you can sign up, but the Minnebucket is kind of the ground zero for that particular tournament. Let's see if we can catch Mr. Vanover. I know he's always ready to talk fishing. Seth, are you with us today, buddy?
Yes, sir, I am, and it is May 5 and 6.
That's it. Okay. That's what I thought, and that thing's been going on, Seth, I think, for 11 years. I want to mention something to you and to our listeners. I've kind of mentioned this in passing to you. Here on KETR, a couple of weeks in a row, we had Chuck Roy, and he was talking about the Lake Fork Challenge, which is golf, fishing, and shooting, to draw money for the Folds of Honor. That all that money goes directly to the families, the children of injured soldiers. You know, that it's put to good use. Last year at the tournament, which is held in October, $100,000 went to the Folds of Honor, and that went straight to the family. So that's coming up. I'm going to tell you more about it. Who knows? You've already told me you might want to be involved in that at some level. And so it's a great deal. And Chuck Roy is, if you want to really learn more about the Lake Fork Challenge and what it's all about, just go back and listen to Chuck Roy on KETR.org. We had him on 2 weeks in a row. He did an awesome job of telling all about it. But keep that in mind. That's in October. Now, Seth, you have been posting pictures of crappie, bunches of crappie. Let's talk about crappie first at Lake Fork. They went shallow you started reporting about 2-3 weeks ago when you first started catching them. Now we're at the end of March. Getting to the end of March, you expect that shallow water pattern to hang for a bit?
It's just now getting real consistent. Over the past couple of weeks, we'd go out one day and just put a beating on them. The next day, I go, what happened? But that's starting to change now. They're really starting to lock into a good shallow water pattern, and you still got to do some searching, but the searching's not as hard now. Just finding some weed lines, and if the sun, the biggest two things I can tell you, if the sun's out, the cork has literally got to be knocking up against, as in the waves, it's got to be beating up against the grass. It has to be that way, or you're not going to get bit. If it's cloudy or late in the evening or early morning before the sun gets out, you have a little latitude. The cork can be out away from the grass line.
Okay.
Once sun gets up, if that cork is not bouncing against the grass line, forget it.
You're not going to
get bit.
Very. If our listeners and myself didn't learn any more from our visit today, Seth, that's a lot right there. That tells a whole bunch. Now, that's telling me when it's sunny, they are back in the shade of that moss, the grass beds. You know, then they're feeding right on the edge of it. I know, you know, minnows are the go-to bait for crappie, but you use a lot of jigs under corks, don't you?
Well, right now we're having to use a lot of minnows. Uh-huh. And the reason being is the water pretty much everywhere I'm fishing is real stained or even murky in some spots. And those live minnows, they just give out that vibration. They're
mm-hmm.
easier to find.
Right.
And another good tip on fishing these minnows, even if you are fishing live minnows, every now and then pop that cork. Just give it a twitch, and it'll disturb that water, and it's just like a popping cork down on the coast when you're fishing for specks. It creates a disturbance, and those fish hear it, and they'll come over there and start looking. And a lot of times, when you're popping that cork, all of a sudden it'll be gone. So, you know, give a little, and it gives a little action to your minnow or your jig if you want to jig fish. Pop in that cork and move that jig around, and just give some turbulence in the water, something to key on.
Yeah,
they can't see that well with it being dirty as it is.
Exactly. You know, that brings to mind years back, I used to be a catfish guide, Weldon Bonner. You may have even heard the name, but Weldon's been passed. He's been deceased for, hard to say, I imagine 15 years. He used to guide out at Ray Hubbard, and he had a term, flashing the bait. You know, and he used, that back in the time when he used a lot of cut bait for catfish, and he'd say, if you don't get hit, flash that bait. What he meant was just give it a little quick jerk, and I'm sure that's what happened. And a lot of times you'd get bit right then. So crappie, catfish.
And that's it. Yeah, same concept. Just give it a little twitch.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes that min is stagnant, even though he's alive, but he's just sitting there. You give him a little twitch, they'll flick that tail.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of the time, that's when you're going to get your bites, unless they're just really going at it. So,
good tip.
Little movement.
Just a little twitch to it. And then, you know, I know that you fish the, you know, a cork. The water depths, I call them corks. I'm old school, floaters, bobbers, whatever we want to call them, you know. The water depths, Seth, that you're keying on right now?
We're in 2 foot or less. The other day, we actually watched a group, had a not a real big group. There was probably 20 crappie. They were in less than a foot of water, but they were in spawning mode. You ain't going to catch them when they're doing that, just like a bass. Once they're in spawning mode, you forget it. But we sat there and watched them for 10 minutes. It was just, I thought it was a bunch of grass carp. It wasn't. It was about 20 crappie up there tearing the water up. It was neat to see.
That's a sight to see. Polarized glasses, you can see right in there and watch them. I've actually never seen that. I've seen, you know, one or two, but never a congregation of them.
That was the second time I've seen any type of crappie doing any spawning. I've never seen a group like that. It was neat. I tried to get a picture of it, but I'm not a photographer. So.
Yep.
That didn't work out.
I understand. Well, that's the thing about folks that are our listeners and you and I and people that love to spend time in the outdoors, Seth. You know, there's a lot of sights that you see, not of them all real dramatic, but if you're really tuned in and keep your eyes and ears open, you can see some sights when you're spending time hunting or fishing, can't you?
Oh, yeah. And the gators are out. We've seen two so far. I'm kind of skewed. I think they're all monsters. Any kind of alligator is a monster.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know how big they were, but they were big.
You know.
Yeah, they're out there sunning.
We have time for how about a quick old fogey story? You and the listeners might want to hear. Let me tell you an alligator story real quick. Folks, and Seth, about 20 years ago, I was up in Jack County on a summer hog hunt. People that listen to me and read my stuff probably surmise that I kind of like hog hunting and cooking them and making sausage. Well, 20 years ago wasn't any different. I was just 20 years younger. But I was up, and it was August, and it was hot. It was a ranch up in northern Jack County, north of Jacksboro, off 281. The ranch owner was a friend. Ed Beaudelet was his name, and it's a well-known ranch. It's been sold two or three times. But he said, Luke, come on up and get you a pig, you know, or get you a hog. He knew I was ready to do it. I was shooting muzzle loaders back then, Seth. That's all I was about, you know, muzzle loader. Well, anyway, he used to like to load me up and drive around, and then I'd hunt later in the evening, you know. So we're in this, it's about a 6,000-acre ranch up there, big old ranch. He goes by this stock tank, Seth, and he says, look out there, and there was two gators, one about 7-8 foot long and one a little bit bigger, as I remember, maybe 10, you know, not giants, but big alligators. So we took a bucket, you know, had a cleaning rack, and they'd clean an exotic animal or hog or something. So he says, you watch this. He pulls up there and dumps out a bucket of cleanings, we'll say, you know, where he'd clean that animal innards. And there was two V's from the other side of that pond, little old, probably 2-acre pond, made a beeline for where he was putting that out, you know. And I said, okay, all right, so do they live here? He said, they never leave. He said, I feed them right here. All right, let's fast forward, Seth, to that evening. I'm up there about 30 minutes before dark. I had that old muzzle loader. I was up in a tree stand, 80 yards, I never will forget, from that edge of the water. You know, looking for hogs. There was a feeder out there, too. Here comes about I can picture this like yesterday. Here comes about a 125-pound boar comes out of the brush. There's a sloping rock, not a gravel bank, but a rock, a big old rock that sloped gradually down into the lake. This pig comes out, and I don't know whether he's going to get a drink. I don't know what he's doing. He stands on that rock, and I shoot him. Down he goes, it's about 80-yard shot, and he starts kicking, and he winds up kicking in himself into the water. Now, I'm down out of that tree, and I'm over there. This is one of those deals in the outdoors you don't forget. I'm over there, Seth, and I walk up there to him, and there's nothing but bubbles coming up. And the bubbles are about 6-7 feet out in the water. It's water's probably waist deep, you know, maybe not quite that deep. I thought, oh, you know, I was plenty of scent in the water. You know what I'm saying? And there was probably movement like we were talking about your crappie. Well, this hog was probably kicking a little bit when he hit that water. I said, what am I going to do? I've got to have my pork. Well, no sign. I said, okay, these gators, where are they? You know, that was the question. Where were they? So they, no sign of a gator. I don't know what the deal was. No V's in the water. You know, you could see those rascals coming, Seth. You know, I mean, water about 4 foot deep. So I said, I'm getting him. I stripped down, and I got my shoes off. I'm wading out there, and I'll swear to goodness, the first thing my foot contacted was his tusk. Didn't have big tusk, but I said, I never will. I thought, okay, I hope this is the boar's tusk. Long story short, it's one of those deals in the outdoors I'll never forget. Nothing got me. I didn't even see a gator. And I told Ed like about that, the owner. He said, oh, well, they knew you were just hunting or something. You know, they didn't think you was out there feeding them. So that's my gator story.
Yeah. Get your hog?
I got my hog. Oh, yeah. Then I, after my shock was over, I just reached down in there, base of my foot, and grabbed him by the, you know, the ear or whatever, and he wasn't a big hog, 125 pounds, but he made good.
My foot would have hit that. I'd have come out of that water.
Seth, coming up down there at Lake Fork, catfish. We've got another minute or so. If you want to catch catfish, I think you have already caught a few shallow too, haven't you?
Yeah, we're catching those up shallow on minnows. Mm-hmm. Actually, dead minnows. You want?
Yeah.
I've got a spot right now. It's usually good for crappie. We can go out there and catch all the 3 and 4 pound channels you want.
Oh
right
my
now.
Gosh!
Well, yeah, they've run the crappie out.
Well, I'll have to see you midday sometime down there between trips or something, bud. Now, LakeForkCatAndCrappie.com. Everybody knows that's your website, but they can go to Facebook and like Lake Fork Cat and Crappie. How about if they want to call you, Seth? How could they reach you?
It's 903-736-4557.
Well, Seth, thanks for being with us. I thought you'd enjoy that little alligator story since you've been seeing some down there. And we'll get you back real soon. We'll talk some more fishing. And who knows, we may talk alligators again.
All right.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.